At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you here with us once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game day edition. Hornets homestand continues. They'll host the Portland Trailblazers, a game of some significance. We'll give you some of the reasons why and give you a game preview as well. Also going to talk about the recent run of Hornets wing Grant Williams. He was the focus of a recent piece in The Athletic and is also on a really strong run of play as well. So we'll break that down for you. Also, another honor for Hornets star rookie Brandon Miller. He is March's Rookie of the Month for the Eastern Conference. We'll give you some of the details here on this edition of the HHC. And helping me on all of these topics, he is one of our favorite senior writer for Hornets.com and part of every Two Sam's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the great Sam Perley, senior writer again of Hornets.com. Sam, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, as always.
Hornets get another honor for their star rookie, Brandon Miller. He's the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month now for the third consecutive month. Very well deserved, as he was far and away, statistically speaking at least, the best rookie in the Eastern Conference. And I think you can make a decent argument for best overall as well. He averaged 18.6 points per game, second only to Victor Wembanyama. He made more threes than any rookie in the NBA, bar none. Just a great overall run of success. Now his third consecutive Rookie of the Month award. Maybe not a surprise, but still something worth celebrating in a season that is kind of been dominated by silver linings. Brandon Miller, the brightest of them all.
Yeah, it's great. Anytime one of your guys gets recognized by the NBA for an award like this, it's always great, and it's always worth making note of. And what's really impressed me too is Brandon. We're in March right now, or in April, the award was for March, but there hasn't been any real drop off in play. I mean, you we talked a lot about at the start of the season, you've got all these rookies kind of coming out of the gates, and you start to kind of stop hearing a little bit about some of them as the season goes on. And when you get up to game 50, game 60, game 70, it's natural, especially for first year players, especially ones like Brandon, who are in maybe tougher situations than some of his other in the rookie class, just with the win loss stuff kind of teetering off a little bit. And not it's easy to not necessarily have the same approach every game as you get to game 65 70 75, but there's been none of that from Brandon. If anything, it feels like he just continues to get better and better. And he's been the Hornets, along with Miles Bridges, like kind of one of the main guys right now from a scoring perspective. He's seeing all of the defensive attention. He's competing on both ends. I mean, I love his approach right now. I think he's pouring everything he can right now into these games, even though from a standing standpoint, they don't have a huge, impact in terms of playoff seed or anything like that. But he's been awesome, just absolutely awesome. I think he's been way more than I think, the expectations are obviously high being the second overall pick, but been way better, at least personally, than I thought he was going to be. And I think a lot of people as well have just been really, really pleased with how his rookie season has gone.
Yeah, his level of play has been beyond what anyone could have expected for really any normal rookie, and Brandon Miller is anything but normal out there. 18.6 points per game. You might say, kind of piggybacking on your point, he has a bigger role than most rookies. Yes, he has more scoring responsibility, but he doesn't necessarily play that many more minutes than some of the other Eastern Conference rookie competitors in his class amongst Eastern Conference rookies, and these are all players who are getting some significant minutes. You've got Jaime Jaquez, who's just under 30 minutes per game. Grady Dick of the Toronto Raptors is over 30 minutes per game. You've got guys like Asar Thompson and Bilal Coulibaly, who were limited in terms of number of games played, but still, minutes per game, they are up there. and they're nowhere near the scoring output that Brandon Miller had. He is far and away the best scoring average of anyone in the Eastern Conference, second in the entire NBA for rookies, behind only Victor Wembanyama. He also led all rookies, both conferences, in total field goals for the month with 98, total threes for the month with 42, and again led the Eastern Conference rookies in points per game. One other historical footnote here, this is now three consecutive Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month awards for Brandon Miller, which puts him in some rarefied air. Only three times before has there been a rookie for the Hornets organization that got three Rookie of the Month awards, and only one other time was it done consecutively. LaMelo Ball won three in a row in his rookie season, when, of course, ended with him winning Rookie of the Year. Emeka Okafor won three in his Rookie of the Year season, although not consecutive, and Larry Johnson won three straight, again, not consecutive, in his Rookie of the Year campaign. I think it's a long shot at this point for Brandon Miller to win Rookie of the Month. I think had his numbers been better in terms of scoring average than Victor Wembanyama, maybe you have a slightly stronger argument, but I'm trying to live in reality here. He should be on the podium. He should be one of the finalists for the award, but I think the Wemby mania is going to take over, and rightfully so. He's leading all rookies in scoring.
Yeah, in terms of the Rookie of the Year award, I think it's you know, if I had to guess right now as things stand with, you know, 8-9 games to go, it's a pretty clear three finalists. It's Victor Wembanyama, it's Chet Holmgren, and Brandon Miller, which is, you know, they've been all extraordinary. And I think in maybe any other season outside of this one, any one of them has a case to win it on their own. It just so happens that they're all having these tremendous first years all simultaneously. But I want to add one other thing too about Brandon just at this point of the season. I was listening to a podcast the other day on The Ringer. I think it was the group chat, and one of the takes on it, they were talking about Brandon Miller, and one of the best things that they've noticed about him at this point of the season is a lot of these numbers he's putting up, they're coming in within the flow of the game. You know, he's taking the right shots. He's, you know, being efficient. You know, at this point in rookie season, you could look at those numbers and say, oh, you know, the Hornets aren't, you know, they're, you know, losing a lot of these games by, you know, 10, 15, 20 points. And, you know, Brandon, oh, they're just empty stats. But you watch him and you don't get that feeling. It's not empty stats. He's not putting up 15, 20 points in the fourth quarter when the game is, you know, 40 points out of reach or anything like that. I mean, it's obviously been tough with the Hornets with the injuries and the depth stuff, but none of his points and none of his scoring and playmaking or anything like that ever feels like it's, you know, garbage time minutes or anything like that. It's all feels very, very conducive to winning basketball, the way he's playing, the approach, like I said, the shots he's taking. He's not just out there to get as many shots as he wants and get these 20, 25 point games. And he's not, you know, he's making 7 threes on 13 attempts. It's not like he's taking 20 threes to get there. So I think that's something that's been really, really impressive. And, you know, it's one thing to look at the numbers, but to see how he's getting to those numbers and the style in which he plays, I think is really, really impressive.
Very good point. One last thing to throw in here on the also ran list for the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month honorees, another Hornets rookie, Vasilije Micic. He was actually second amongst all Eastern Conference rookies, that is, in points per game last month, 13.4 points per game. And he led all rookies, both conferences, in assist total, 96, and assist per game, 6.4. I know he's a different kind of rookie. He's a little bit older, obviously had a storied career in Europe, but I think he's making maybe a little bit of a late push towards perhaps being considered for a All-NBA rookie second-team selection. You look at his total points, he's just outside of the top 20. This is total points, not average per game. Didn't play in as many games in as prominent of a role, not nearly so with OKC as he has here with the Hornets, but he's making up for lost time and then some. He is already top five amongst all rookies, either conference, in total assists, and when you look at the per-game averages, they're pretty solid for Vasa Micic. So, fitting honor for him for the month of March, and we'll see what he can do in this closing stretch of the season, see if he can make an even stronger push towards maybe a higher honor for the end of the season. Congrats again, Brandon Miller, a three consecutive time Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month. Coming up next, Grant Williams, the centerpiece of a recent article in The Athletic. We'll talk about it next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sam Farber and Sam Perley here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. We'll be previewing Hornets versus Portland Trailblazers momentarily. Possible number 2 versus number 3 overall pick matchup going head-to-head for the first time in their NBA careers. Brandon Miller, of course, of the Hornets, and Scoot Henderson for the Portland Trailblazers. Tickets are available at Hornets.com. Before we get to game preview, Sam Perley wanted to talk about a recent piece that just came out in The Athletic the other day by author Jared Weiss. It's focused on Hornets wing Grant Williams. It's titled, "As Grant Williams Starts Over Again with the Hornets, His Voice is Finding a Home." There's been a lot said, written out there in the media landscape about Grant Williams, his time with Boston, his time with Dallas, and what his role has been with both franchises, and you know what his persona was maybe perceived as. And Grant addresses a lot of it here in this piece, and basically says that being a talker, being a vocal leader, is a part of him. It's his authentic self, is I think the term he used in the piece. He admits in quotes that he is a talker, but says that his game has to match the vocal level that he has in the locker room. And he took accountability, saying, you know what, in Dallas, my game wasn't quite where he wanted it to be. And I love that accountability for him. You know, you have to have enough awareness of yourself and be your authentic self to perform at your best. And Grant Williams said, for whatever reason, his performance wasn't up to the standard that he had for himself, and he's working to constantly improve. So there's a lot of great quotes there. Former teammates with Boston talk glowingly about Grant Williams. Guys who didn't play with him but have played against him consistently, like Kristaps Porzingis, had a lot of nice things to say as well about his level of compete. And I think just overall it shed a different light on Grant Williams than maybe has been talked about recently in the media.
Accountability was really impressive, particularly for a guy that had carved out such a distinguished role in Boston. I mean, you know, he was a big part of the team that, you know, that went to the finals a couple years ago and was, you know, very much a guy there, you know, part of a really, really good Celtics team. And then to make the transition and to go to Dallas and to not be that guy and to have, you know, all these expectations of, okay, he's taking the next step, he's taking on a starting role, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason. And you know, only he really knows. It's kind of beside the point. But I would have to venture to guess, just speaking on personal opinion, that Dallas is, it's a unique place to play. It's very heavily dominated. You know, everything kind of revolves around Luka Doncic, and then you also have Kyrie Irving as well. So fitting in there is tough. It's, you know, trying to find your role, particularly offensively. You know, maybe that what Grant was doing in Boston didn't have the same sort of freedom or liberty to do that in Dallas, because it's revolves so much around one guy, and also a second guy that is playing more this year in Kyrie Irving than he has in the past couple of years because of injuries and other stuff. So I think it was good for Grant to kind of recognize that. It wasn't any sort of situation where he was like facilitating a trade. It, you know, things kind of worked out the way they did. And I think he's in a situation now, obviously back home. I think he's obviously thrilled to be, but you know, he's brought something to this Hornets team that they've really needed. They needed an edge, some physicality, just a guy that can kind of get in your face if you're on the other team. I think it's, and you saw it the other night against Boston. I mean, he's a competitor. And I think it's not to say the Hornets didn't have that level of competitiveness before, but anytime the Hornets bring in a guy that, you know, I'll say like, I couldn't stand going against him when he's another team, that's a compliment, because he just kind of gets under your skin. He does a little bit of everything. He's hitting threes, being physical. Grant Williams is one of those guys that I think opposing teams just don't like playing against, because he just does all the things that can kind of throw you off a little bit. So, and so much of the NBA, last thing I'll say is so much of the NBA is just fit. It's fit, whether it's rookies coming into the league, whether it's guys signing contracts, it's fit. And, you know, maybe Dallas ultimately just wasn't the right fit. And, you know, things came into play with sign and trade and salary cap. But I think he has found a fit here in Charlotte. And I think he's been nothing but awesome, both from a basketball standpoint, and also kind of the intangibles that was described in this article with the communicating and talking and leadership elements.
Agreed. A couple other notes here in the piece. Grant Williams, in addition to, you know, just taking accountability for wanting to be the best version of himself and trying to do everything he can to help his teams win, you know, he touched on a variety of topics. One player who we heard from in the piece was Kristaps Porzingis, who did not play with Grant Williams, but I didn't think of this at the time, but has some very similar parallels to Grant in that he went over to Dallas to pair with Luka Doncic. He was looking for a different role when he got there than Grant was, but as a already established all-star and whatnot, but nonetheless, it didn't quite work out there, and so he had some interesting insights about what it's like joining that franchise, and none of this is a knock on that team, but as you said, it's fit. It's about finding the right fit to meet the moment and help yourself and your team be the best that you can be. Porzingis talked about how it, you know, for whatever reason, didn't work in Dallas. He went to another franchise, Washington, kind of found his game again, and now is with Boston, having a tremendous season, and they're obviously having a great run. Last thing I'll throw in here, Grant Williams, everywhere he goes, he seems to win. In his four seasons in Boston, three runs to the Eastern Conference Finals or better. In Dallas, they were an above 500 team when he left. Now, they've had a great run since then, but the year prior to him arriving, they were below 500, missed the playoffs. They were on pace to make the postseason, even with Grant Williams. So it's not as if things had gone terribly awry, and then all of a sudden everything went in the right direction after. And furthermore, he came to Charlotte, who had been losing something like four out of every five games prior to his arrival, and immediately the team went on a run. Now, more injuries started to set in, and it took a while to find their footing, but now the Hornets are again playing better basketball against really good competition, and Grant Williams is at the heart of it. So I'm a big believer in Grant Williams, the mayor, pride of Providence Day, go Chargers. I think Grant Williams has a lot of really positive play to come still this season, and I'm very high on what the future is going to hold for him and the Hornets. It's a good piece. Hope you check it out in The Athletic. Again, it's titled As Grant Williams Starts Over Again with Hornets, His Voice is Finding a Home by Jared Weiss. Check it out in The Athletic. All right, it's a game day. Hornets taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. We'll preview the matchup next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sam Farber, Sam Perley here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. Charlotte taking on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Hornets in game number 76 of the season. I think we're at podcast like 170, of which, Sam Perley, I think you've been a part of, what, 45, 50%? How many podcasts do you think you've done this season?
I had to guess, and I assume you're going to go back and count them all now. If I factor in the road games, I will say maybe 50.
All right, so I'm giving you too much credit.
50 feels right with, like, I'll say 35 road games and then maybe 15 or so like previews. Well, then I'm thinking like those holiday ones. I'll say 55. 55 to 60. Maybe when it's all said and done, the season's over, and all these are added up, I'll say 55 to 60. And I expect you to go up back and count each one and then rank all 1 to 60 by how good they were.
Apparently, I'm giving you too much credit. I'd like you to pick up the slack again next year. Hornets taking on the Trailblazers tonight. This should be a fun one. Hornets are 18 and 57. Portland, 19 and 56. So clearly, record-wise, these two teams are in somewhat of a rebuilding mode at this stage. Charlotte has picked up a lot of losses as of late. They've lost three in a row now, and I think eight of their last nine, but the homestand overall has been a real strong point in terms of level of play. Hornets beating Cleveland and the losses to Golden State, the Clippers, and Boston, all of these teams with playoff aspirations, and the last two, maybe championship ones, and Charlotte played very well in those games. No shame losing to those teams in those fashion. Portland, on the other hand, they have lost 10 in a row. They're in the middle of a marathon seven-game road trip. Almost picked up a win the other day in Orlando, but close nose, but no cigar. Charlotte did win in Portland earlier this season in their own long road trip. 93-80 was the final. It was an ugly game, Sam Perley. Portland was 3-for-32 from three. Both teams shot below 50% from the floor and even right around 70% from the foul line. It was a rough one, but Charlotte did come out on top, picking up the victory, and they'll go for the season sweep here tonight.
Yes, been a tough season for Portland, and they're, like you said, they're obviously kind of playing a lot of their younger guys right now. Injuries have been a big part for them. I think they've actually missed the second most games due to injury this season. The Hornets are at third right now. So
I don't believe that at all. There's no way.
It is. It's true.
Are we talking about like two-way guys or something? I mean, come on.
I think it's guys on the current roster. The most games missed due to injury. Portland is technically number two right now, and Charlotte is three.
All right. In terms of games missed by players who are supposed to start, supposed to lead, you're not going to convince me that anyone is ahead of Charlotte and Memphis. You're just not. So we're going to leave that there. You can torture me another podcast or just up at our desks, which are too close to each other. You have no idea, people, how much Mets talk I hear about on a nightly basis. In any case, Sam Perley, game preview time. Hornets versus Blazers. We need a player from either side as well as a stat to watch. You get to pick first.
I didn't know that injury fact was going to get you so riled up. I will go with a Hornets player to watch, and I will go with Miles Bridges. A couple of really nice games for Miles this week against the Clippers in Boston, averaging 29.5 points, shooting 48.8% from the field, 43.5% from three. I think overall he's 10 of 23. Perfect from the line, had a double-double the other night against Boston, which was his first since March 15th, had 11 rebounds, and also season-high 8 assists. So and he's playing a lot right now. You've talked about his minutes and how much the Hornets have had to rely on him, and it's ramped up even more with all the injuries. He's averaging 42.9 minutes per game over the past two games. And, you know, they've needed him. I mean, they need him for the scoring. They need him just to be on the court. And he's done a really good job of contributing and making up in areas where the Hornets need him, you know, getting 11 rebounds the other night when Nick Richards wasn't playing, doing the playmaking with the 8 assists. So I think for Miles right now, it's just continuing to be aggressive, attack the basket, and not settling so much for some of these long twos that he was going through some stretches, and just kind of keep, you know, the foot on the gas and kind of get some shots falling early. But again, Miles is going to be, you know, counted on again tonight for sure.
I like the pick. Miles Bridges going for a lot of different accolades, including the minutes per game lead. I think he's up about 10 seconds per game now on DeMar DeRozan, so not exactly a comfortable lead, but he's playing a lot. He's playing very well, and the Hornets need him, too, to get this win tonight. I'm going to go with the other star for the team. That's Brandon Miller. Talked about him earlier, picking up a third consecutive Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month award. If Rookie of the Year was based off conference, there is no question Brandon Miller would win it for the East. There is some question about where he'll fall in the pecking order for the overall NBA Rookie of the Year honors, but he'll continue to make his case. He had another strong game the other day against Boston. It's been a lot of fun to see him go head-to-head with superstars who have a lot of similarities to Brandon Miller, both Paul George the other day against the Clippers and Jason Tatum against Boston. There are a lot of similarities you can see in the players' games, their shooting ability, and see some of the breadcrumbs for the future here for Brandon Miller. This is a game tonight against Portland where there isn't necessarily that all-star, all-NBA style of comp to Brandon Miller on the other side. And not that he has had any letdowns throughout the season, but he clearly elevated his game a little bit more for those two matchups. I'll be interested to see what he's able to do against Portland. Does his game go a step further because he's playing, I mean, it's still NBA competition, but it's not all NBA competition. It's not a Paul George or a Jason Tatum on the other side, or is there a little bit of a drop-off? So we'll see what's to come. It should be an interesting matchup here for Brandon Miller. Next up, stat to watch or Blazer to watch?
I'm going to go with Blazer to watch, and my Blazer to watch is Jop Reith. You talked a little bit about Vasilij Micic being an under-the-radar all-rookie candidate. This is another older rookie who has a kind of fascinating backstory. He's, you know, born in South Sudan. He immigrated to Australia, went to junior college, LSU, and has kind of been bouncing around all sorts of different countries playing. I think he's 27, and he was in Lebanon last year, but I think Blazers found him. He went to Summer League, and he's kind of Found a really, really nice role over in Portland. 9.5 points this year. He's a great three-point shooter for his size. He's hit 83s this season on 36.5% shooting. And he's only one of six players in the NBA to 6'11 or taller with to hit those thresholds, and the others being Chet Holmgren, Kevin Durant, Karl Towns, Lauri Markkanen, and Jabari Smith. So I think the Blazers, you know, you talk a lot about the rookies they drafted and you know, traded for, but this is a rookie that they really did a good job kind of, you know, finding almost somewhat out of nowhere. But Jop Reith has had a really, really good season for them, and definitely a floor spacer. What makes him challenging is he can shoot, he's tall, you know, he can open up things for their offense a little bit more, which is always tricky. They can play more five out offense. So it's something the Hornets defense will definitely have to be accounting for tonight.
All right. Well, your pick has put me in a little bit of a pickle here because I don't think we can do this podcast without referencing Scoot Henderson. I kind of expected you to go with him or my next pick, which was going to be DeAndre Ayton. But since you didn't, I'll just mention that DeAndre Ayton had a massive game, points and rebounds against Charlotte in Portland. He was maybe the only player who statistically played well, and he's a former number one overall pick, so he has the chance. I mean, this is an interesting Portland team because, admittedly, they do have some injuries that have had an impact. You look at some of their significant guys, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, Scoot Henderson. They've all missed 20 to 25 games on the season, so it's not the kind of injury-riddled season that the Hornets have experienced, losing LaMelo Ball and Mark Williams for more than half the season, more like three quarters, but it's significant enough that if their statistics warranted them being considered for All-NBA, they wouldn't get there. They're missing that threshold of games. But that said, there is a level of talent and experience in the NBA that makes their record overall, to me, surprising. I don't think this team should be that bad given the level of talent and experience in the NBA they have over there, and yet their record is what it is. But you didn't take DeAndre Ayton or Scoot Henderson, so I'm going to focus on Scoot here, the third overall pick. This is part of the headline of tonight's matchup, Brandon Miller going against Scoot Henderson. Their draft process was very well documented. That was basically the selection that it came down to for the Charlotte Hornets, and there's no question for anyone in the Queen City that the Hornets got it right, but that doesn't mean that Scoot Henderson is wrong. He is starting to ramp up here. He had a really good month of March and February, for that matter, overall. A lot of injuries in there, but his points per game has been sliding up. His shooting percentages have been sliding up for the most part. This is a good player who clearly has a lot of physical gifts and abilities, and it's all about how it comes together in the future. But I'll be excited to see it on the hardwood for the first time. They didn't get to go head-to-head in Portland. As I mentioned, Scoot's missed 20 to 25 games so far, somewhere in that range, so he hasn't been the healthiest player, unfortunately, this year. But hopefully we get this head-to-head matchup. Head-to-head, I know they don't play exactly the same position, but we'll see what it looks like out there on the hardwood.
Yeah, they'll be on the court at the same time. We can count that. What's next? Stat to watch? Come on, stat to watch. My stat to watch is rebounding. You mentioned the game the Hornets played in Portland back in February. Gave up 22 offensive rebounds in that game for 21 second chance points. I want to say, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want to say Ayton had at least half of those offensive rebounds. Again, you're going to have a lot of chances for offensive rebounds when you're shooting 3 of 36 or whatever it was from three-point range, but it's something the Hornets cannot allow. 22 offensive rebounds again. It is tied for the most by an opponent this season, and it's an area the Hornets have actually done pretty well in recently. Over their past, I want to say it's now 9 games, they are averaging only 9.8 offensive rebounds going the other way, and no more than 11 in any of those 9 games. So they've done good on the defensive rebounding, preventing offensive rebounds. That's not necessarily looking at percentage, but just kind of the number itself. But can't give away second chance opportunities, giving away possessions. It's something they got to be really attentive to, particularly with how much Portland was able to capitalize in that area when they met the first time this season.
Yeah, agreed. I had that one circled as well. Quite frankly, you could argue the Hornets got lucky that last game in Portland because Charlotte's offense wasn't really anything to write home about. They finished with 93 points in this era of the NBA. That's not a good offensive output. And Portland scoring 80, the defense has something to do with it. I'm not suggesting it didn't. You've got guys like Grant Williams who've been added in at that time. Cody Martin was still playing. Seth Curry was still playing. Charlotte had some good defensive pieces out there, and they were playing their best defensive basketball of the season, minus Mark Williams, in that stretch. But Portland shot below terrible. They were 3-for-32 from three, and the offensive rebounds gave them a chance. And so if you're Charlotte, you don't want to take the chance that Portland shoots anywhere near NBA average and blows you out of the water with a similar performance, because in that game, Portland attempted 20 more shots than Charlotte did, and it wasn't because of fouling. The free throws were essentially identical. So I don't trust the Blazers to be that bad shooting the basketball again. If you're the Hornets, you have to minimize those extra field goal attempts. You took second chance points. I'll say turnovers. There wasn't a huge disparity, but you can't give up, you know, one area where you're allowing a whole bunch of extra shots and then have another one fall apart. So turnovers, I will focus in on. It has at times been an issue. Hasn't been on this homestand. So knock on wood, the Hornets can keep that run going. Either way, we'll have it covered for you on the Hornets Radio Network. Tomorrow we'll have another edition of the HHC, and Sam Perley will be writing all about it on Hornets.com. Sam, thanks so much for joining us here today in studio on the Hornets Hivecast.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Thanks to our producer, Rob Longo, for putting this podcast together. Most of all, thanks to all of you for tuning in. For everybody here, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.